Michael Trevino, he was convicted of molesting his daughter when she was in kindergarten. This was a case where there was a delayed outcry. So even though it happened when she was in kindergarten, she didn't say anything until several years later. He ultimately was sentenced to 8 years of probation and was required to register as a sex offender. When the daughter was 27, she actually recanted and said that it wasn't her father, that it was her stepfather. So ultimately he was exonerated as well. He spent basically 19 years having to register and live life as a sex offender when in fact he really didn't do it. Then Ben Salazar, he was convicted of aggravated sexual assault. It was a stranger on stranger sexual assault. The police sat the victim down, and they don't do this anymore because it's just a really bad practice. But back then, what they would sit a person down and just have them flip through a book of mugshots to see if they recognized anybody. And in this case, the victim picked him out. He ended up being convicted and sentenced to 30 years and then eventually exonerated by DNA. So these cases all illustrate some of the factors that we're talking about, whether it was a false testimony or false accusation, eyewitness identification, false confession, all of those things played a role in these different cases. Fortunately, these people were ultimately exonerated and set free. And so part of our job as a conviction integrity unit is to try to find these cases. The approach that I think we need to take is to go back to the fundamental duty of a prosecutor. And we hear it all, well, as a prosecutor for as long as I've been, I hear it all the time. Our duty is not to convict, but to see that justice is done. But the interesting thing is we don't really spend a lot of time talking about what that actually means. What does it mean to see that justice is done? And one of the things, what I've tried to do, this is my personal formulation of it, but is to think about justice in terms of the duties that we owe to other people. So I think we have a duty of justice to victims, and that includes making sure that they have the opportunity to be heard, that the person who hurt them is held accountable, but at the same time to make sure that we get the right person. Because if you're the victim of a crime and then you find that the person who you thought did it, who had been sent to prison for it, is suddenly exonerated, now you've got two things. You've got the fact that the wrong person spent time in prison, but also that the person who actually did do it has been out with the opportunity to do it to other people. And so, you know, I think we have to be very conscious of what we owe to crime victims in our job. We also have a duty to defendants. And justice for defendants means making sure that we approach our job in a even-handed way, that we play by the rules, and that we keep an eye out for their rights as much as we are keeping an eye out for victims. We want to make sure that if we do send somebody into prison, that that's the right person and that we're sending them there and we did it in the right way and for the right reasons. We have a duty to the criminal justice system as a whole. We have a duty to make sure that the system operates fairly, that we abide by the rules and that we hold others to the rules, that we set that standard. And sometimes that means pointing out if we see a defense attorney who is messing up, I think we have a duty to approach the court and let the court know, because we don't want to invite an ineffective assistance claim by just watching the defense attorney mess up their case or miss something important. That just means we'll have to do it all over again. But I think ultimately our duty to the system is to make sure that we play our role in as conscientious a way as we can, and that we keep an eye to make sure that the other people in the system are doing the same thing. And from a conviction integrity standpoint, this means being open to the idea that sometimes the system, judges, juries, defense attorneys, prosecutors, we can get things wrong. We are not infallible. And And that is probably one of the most important things when you're looking at actual innocence claims and trying to evaluate them, is to start with that fundamental understanding that sometimes the system really does get it wrong. And then I think we have a duty to the community. A duty to justice for the community means making sure that the system gets it right as much as we can, and that the community can have confidence that the right people are being prosecuted, that the system is fair, that everybody has their opportunity to be heard, and that nobody is subverting the rules to try to cheat their way to the outcome that they want to see. So all of those, I think, combined to create or to express what that concept of justice is when we talk about our duty to see that justice is done. And specifically within the context of conviction integrity units, it's important to realize that our duty doesn't end when the conviction is done or when the mandate issues. Our duty is to make sure that the system works and that the system gets it right. And if it messes up, that we take whatever steps we can to try to fix it. And not just fix it, but also to learn from it.